All I ever wanted was a comfortable life. How many times do we hear that, right? Comfort is part of the American dream. Or how many times have you heard this one? Well, if I can just get this one next thing, then I'll be satisfied. I'll have all that I ever wanted. I'll be fine. I'll be happy. I'll be all right. If it's the house paid off or the next promotion, enough money to retire, whatever it be. If I can just get that, then things will change in my life. And how often does that turn into, well, just a bit more, maybe just a little bit more? Greed has a subtle way of working in our lives, in our minds, in our hearts, and convincing us that we're normal. This is good. This is right. This is responsible. That is what our parable today is aiming at. We might be tempted to think, well, of course this man is doing what he should do. Of course he should store up his harvest in barns. Of course he should relax and enjoy life now. He got to retire early. What could be better? Be comfortable. The problem is Jesus' surprising assertion, his surprising evaluation of the situation. He equates the attitude of this rich man with him already being dead. This day your life will be demanded of you. To whom will all this stuff belong? You are not rich in what matters to God. Makes us ask the question, doesn't it? What happens when we seek all the other forms of riches that the world offers, but are not rich in what matters to God? What happens then? Well, Thomas Merton, one of the great writers and practitioners of the spiritual life in America, once wrote, "Without a life of the Spirit, our whole existence becomes unsubstantial and illusory." Without a life in the Spirit, without being rich in what matters to God, our whole existence becomes unsubstantial and illusory. Unsubstantial, what does that mean? Well, it means there's no weight to it. It doesn't have anything important about it. It would be like Wonder Bread. Okay, you can take a whole loaf of Wonder Bread and crunch it into one fistful, can't you? There's no weight to it. There's no substance. Or if you've ever been to a bakery and you selected a pastry and you thought, oh, this is going to be good. And as soon as you bit into it, it just didn't have any substance. And you said, missed out, right? Unsubstantial. When we're not rich in what matters to God, we have nothing important in our life. And it becomes illusory, Thomas Merton said. We have the illusion that things matter, that we have meaning, that we have purpose. You know, we've met people that get very excited about trivial things, right? They're kind of like grown-up children. They get very excited about things that we know are of very little meaning. Or conversely, people who get overly upset about small inconveniences, right? This is what it means to live an illusory existence. We have the illusion that something important, something good, something meaningful is here, and yet there's nothing there. It's like the person perhaps that's always talking about some way that they're going to get rich. You know, this next scheme that they have to get rich. Ah, but the last one just didn't quite work out. But this next one, we're going to do it, right? They're living in this illusion of something important, something substantial, something life-changing about to happen. That's what happens when we live searching for the riches of this world, but when we do not acquire the riches of what matters to God, our existence becomes unsubstantial and illusory. And why is it that wealth tends to do this? Wealth specifically, especially maybe for us as Americans. Why does it happen to be something that leads us to that point? I think one answer perhaps is that wealth is a form of idolatry. In the Pope's letter that he wrote to you, and if you haven't noticed, I'm suggesting that it would be great for you to read it. In Pope's letter, Lumen Fidei, The Light of Faith, he talks about idolatry. He says the opposite of faith is not disbelief, but idolatry. He says, in place of faith in God, it seems better to worship an idol, into whose face we can look directly and whose origin we know because it is the work of our own hands. Just imagine the golden calf, right, that was worshipped by the Israelites. They know where it came from. They can look it in the eyes. It seems better to worship that idol. Before an idol, there is no risk that we will be called to abandon our security. And then the Pope goes on to say that idols exist as a pretext for setting ourselves at the center of reality and worshiping the work of our own hands. It's all a pretext. So wealth, for example, the illusion that I've done great things, right? The illusion that, oh, of course, I've amassed this wealth, therefore I'm important. Therefore, I've done something meaningful. It's really a pretext for saying, I'm the center of reality. I worship the work of my own hands. Now the rich man, quote-unquote rich man in this parable, really, what was he about? None other than worshiping his own work and his own ingenuity, putting himself at the center when ultimately he should recognize that the gifts come from another and not from him. He found out in the end, however, that his life was unsubstantial, illusory, without meaning. Are you rich? Are you rich in what matters to God? In the end, wealth, prestige, intelligence, good health, all of the ways of being rich in the eyes of the world, none of them matter. And guess what? None of those things are needed for us to be rich in what matters to God. No resource is lacking for us, no matter how poor, rich, smart, not smart, how healthy, how ill we are. No resource is lacking for us to be rich in what matters to God. If I could just get that one more thing, then I'd be okay. Then I'd be able to change my life and serve others. You fool, Jesus says. Store up your treasures in heaven. Seek what is above, not what is of earth.